This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 8, and it can be found on page 1027 of the Church Bible. Luke, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we hear about this message that the angels brought, we pray that we would hear it and respond rightly to it. Amen. Well, you know that we've been looking at some carols over the past few weeks and seeing what they mean. Today we're looking at Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I have to confess that until this week, I never actually knew what the word hark meant. I'd obviously sung it for years, and I did have kind of a gist of an idea of what it meant, but I wouldn't have been able to give you a definition if you'd asked me. Well, thanks to Google, now I can. Hark means to listen closely or to pay attention to something. That makes a lot of sense. I certainly now have a new appreciation for what I'm singing. And hark isn't the only tricky word in that opening line. Herald is also a word that we don't commonly use, so I looked that one up as well. And herald means a person who carried important messages and made announcements. So we put it all together, we get something like this. Listen closely to what the angel messenger sings. Glory to the newborn king. Well, it's not quite as catchy as it, but it is maybe a little bit clearer. Interestingly, though, these were not actually the original words that Charles Wesley wrote. He actually wrote, "Hark, how the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings." And the version we sing today actually came about through a number of changes, including a fairly significant one by George Whitfield. However, as interesting as some of us might find those things, we're not going to look at that now. Instead, we're going to heed the message of that opening line. Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to the newborn king. Let us pay attention to that message. And we're going to do that by looking at this part of the Bible that the hymn is based on. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 to 16. And we're going to see what the angels announce. And so our first point this morning, the angels announce good news of great joy for all. The angels announce good news of great joy for all. Well, I don't know if you've ever watched Michael McIntyre's Midnight Game Show. If you haven't, then let me explain it to you. The stand-up comedian, Michael McIntyre, sneaks into somebody's house in the middle of the night. In pitch black, he creeps up the stairs with a full film crew behind him. He quietly opens the bedroom door. And then he turns on the light and he shouts, "Welcome to my game show!" Well, as you can imagine, most people jump out of their skin with fright. when they do figure out what's going on, they normally see the funny side and laugh along. But there is that moment of panic. I'm sure you can imagine how it would feel if someone turned up in your bedroom unannounced, particularly if it wasn't a famous comedian with a film crew. You would feel vulnerable, scared, exposed. That's exactly what happens to these shepherds. They're just going about their everyday life. It's nighttime. They're in the fields watching over the sheep. This is something they would have done thousands of times before. No doubt they would have occasionally had to defend the flock from wild animals. These would have been hardy men. But what happened on that night was a night like no other. And we see that in verse 9. Have a look. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Can you imagine it? An angel of the Lord appeared. This is even more scary than a person in your bedroom. We often think of angels as being cute. But that's not the picture the Bible paints. In the Bible, they are terrifying. And I think we see the reason why they're so terrifying here. When the angel appears, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of God, His perfectness, His holiness, as it shines, it exposes their imperfection, their sinfulness. I guess it might be like a criminal who's on the run, trying to hide from the police. But when the police finally shine that torch on them, they know the game's up. They're done for. When the perfect God shows up, sinful people are right to be terrified. But amazingly, the angel tells them not to be afraid. He hasn't come in judgment, but he's come to bring good news. And did you notice what the angel said about this good news? It's good news of great joy. This is the kind of news that will bring a massive smile to your face. It's the kind of news that you're going to want to sing and dance about. It's the kind of news that you won't be able to keep to yourself. It's the kind of news that is life-changing. But there's more. Not only is this good news of great joy, this is good news of great joy for all people. This good news message that the angel is bringing is not just for the shepherds. It's not just for their friends and family. It's not just for their country. This good news is for everyone. And so the obvious question, what is this good news that is so great? Well, listen to these words from the carol. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumphs of the skies, with angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Well, this brings us on to our second point. The angels announce the birth of a saviour. The angels announce the birth of a saviour. The passage said this, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The good news of great joy for all people is the birth of a baby. Now, I think we would all accept a baby being born is generally good news. But it's not normally good news of great joy for all people. I can genuinely say that I am filled with joy when someone I know has a baby. But hand on heart, I can't say that the same thing when a baby is born on the other side of the world. It's not that I'm unhappy about it, don't get me wrong. But I just can't say that I'm filled with joy about it. It just doesn't mean much to me. And yet the angel expects the news of this baby to be great joy for all people. That's because this baby is no ordinary baby. And we learn a few things about what makes this baby so special. Firstly, he is the Saviour. He's come to rescue his people. But rescue them from what? What did these shepherds need saving from? Or indeed, what did the people in Bethlehem need saving from? Remember, this is good news for all people. So actually, what do we all need saving from? Well, it's what we saw before when the shepherds were terrified. They need saving, and we need saving from the judgments we face. We see we're all sinful. And deep down, I think we know this. It's not that we're as bad as we could be. Not everyone is a murderer or a thief. But we all turn away from God. None of us give him the worship that he deserves. And in our hearts, we know we do wrong. Who can honestly say they've never told a lie, or they've never been angry with someone, that they haven't caused hurt to another person in some way? None of us are perfect, but God is perfect, and his standards are perfect. And we all fall short of those standards. We break God's laws and his commands, but more than that, we try to take his place. We try to put ourselves on his throne, and we attempt to wear his crown. And therefore, it is right to face judgment for those actions. And that judgment is separation from God. Without God, there is no goodness, there's no love, there's no life. There's only death. But that is what Jesus saves us from. He saves us from our sinful lives and the punishment we deserve. He saves us from death itself. How does he save us? Well, secondly, he saves us because he's the Christ. He is God's anointed one, God's rescuing king. Because he is a king, he rightly deserved our worship and obedience. But he didn't come to earth in order to demand those things from us. No, he comes to earth in humility. We see this in the way that he's born. Not in a palace, but in a stable. He's not laid in a golden cot, but in a manger, in the place where the animals eat. And this same humility, it characterized his whole life. He did not lord it over people, but instead he went to the outcasts of society. And most of all, we see it in that he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. This is the kind of king he is. He gave his life for his people. He took the punishment that sinful people deserve. And that means our sins can be forgiven because the price has been paid. How can Jesus do this? How can one man take the sins of many people? Well, thirdly, because he's Lord. To understand the significance of this, we have to realize that the Lord is God's personal name. It's what he uses when he reveals himself. It's the name that his people call him. And so when the angel says that Jesus is Lord, they're saying that he's God. The same God that they already have a relationship with. He is God come down to earth as a man. This is why he can save many people. Because he's God, and his life has infinite worth. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Jesus is both human and God. He is God in the flesh. God come to earth as a baby. That is why he can rescue us. As a human, he can be our representative. He can take our place. He is one of us. And as God, his life is perfect and of infinite worth. You see, it'd be no good if I offered to swap places with you, because I'm just as guilty as you are. If we swap places, you would just end up getting my punishment and I'd get yours. And even if somehow I could give my life to take your punishment, I could only do that for one other person. My life is not worth the lives of millions and billions of people. But because Jesus is God, he can do that. His life is perfect, and it's of infinite worth. You see, this baby is no ordinary baby. The birth of this baby is not just good news for the parents and the family. The birth of this baby is good news for all people, because he is Saviour and he is Christ and he is Lord. And this is obviously a massive claim. How will the shepherds know that this is true? How will they know that they can trust this message, this good news? Well, the angels say there will be a sign. We see it in verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The angel says that they can go and see this for themselves. They can actually meet this baby. And they will find this baby in a manger. That's obviously not the normal place where you would find a baby. So that's a significant detail that will back up the claim. But as I said before, it's also symbolic. In Jesus, God is willing to humble himself for the good of his people. But before the shepherds can go and check it out for themselves, there's still one more surprise to come. And we're going to see that in our third and final point. The angels announce peace on whom God's favour rests. Peace on whom God's favour rests. Well, if one angel was a stunning sight, well, how about a whole host of them? Verse 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." Well, imagine the sky full of these awesome, these powerful, these terrifying angels. It must have been a sight to behold. As much as the angel had said not to be afraid, I'm not sure how well the shepherds would have been able to heed that advice. It's not only the sight, is it? It's the sound as well. When this heavenly host appears, they praise God in song. And their song has two parts. First, they sing glory to God in the highest. To praise and glorify God is indeed the right response to this amazing thing he's done. God has sent his people a saviour. It's more than that. He is the saviour. He sent his son down to earth. He's humbled himself in the most dramatic way. He's left the perfection of heaven to enter the mess of the world. And he's done that so that we might have salvation. And that is glorious. His love and his goodness are beyond measure. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And secondly, they sing, peace on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests. Well, this is the ultimate outcome of this good news. Because our sins are forgiven, we can have peace with God. Once we were his enemies and faced his judgments, but now we can be his friends and have peace with him. The hostility that was between us is gone. It is removed. And we're brought back together. We are made friends again. Did you notice who the angel said gets this peace? It is those on whom his favour rests. So let me ask you this. Is his favor resting on you? How would you know? Well, the Bible tells us that God's favor rests on us if we put our trust in Jesus, if we turn to him as our Savior and worship him as our King, then we can have the forgiveness that comes through him. Having God's favor is not about being a good person and doing lots of good deeds. It's about trusting in Jesus and what he has done. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. This is the message that the angels sing, the peace and reconciliation that comes through Jesus, sinful people being made right with God again. This is a message that we must listen to and respond to. And in the shepherds, we see a good way to respond. They've heard this amazing news, perhaps unbelievable news, and they decide the best thing they can do is to check it out for themselves. And they do it straight away. They hurry off to find Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger. They want to check out to see whether it's true. And when they get there, they see that it is. All that the angel has said has come to be. And their good response continues in two ways. We see one way in verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They trust and believe in the message they heard, and they praise and glorify God. We see the second way in verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told to them about this child. Like all the best news, you can't keep it to yourself. You can't help but tell others about it. That's what the shepherds do. They tell anyone who would listen all the things they have seen. So how will you respond to this message, this good news about Jesus? Well, if it is news to you, then why don't you check it out for yourself? Now, of course, we can't go and see a baby in a manger, but we can read all about him in the Bible. This is the place we go to now. We can read and see for ourselves. And if that is something you would like to do, then why not join us for our Hope Explored course starting in January? That would be a great opportunity to find out more about the Christian faith. And I'm going to give more details about that in a minute. And if you do know the good news yourself, then are you following the example of the shepherds? Are you glorifying and praising God in your life? And are you telling others about Jesus? They would be two great things to do this Christmas time. Because of the salvation Christ brings, because our sins are forgiven, because we're reconciled to God, because we have peace with him, we no longer fear death, but instead we look forward to life with him in heaven, eternal life in his perfect kingdom. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Let us finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this message that the angels brought, the message of good news, of great joy for all people. We thank you that this good news is a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, come to earth to save us from our sins and to reconcile us to you. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would respond rightly to this good news, that we would glorify and praise you, and that we would tell others about all that we have heard. And Father, for those of us who are not sure, perhaps this is the first time we've heard this news, we pray that you would help us to check it out for ourselves, that we would see whether it is indeed true. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us, and we pray that we would remember that particularly over this Christmas time. Amen.